vacation on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special. I invite you to be with this program. We're going to speak about dignity in Islam.
You could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Today, Friday, is the 8th of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Esfand, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of March, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As always, we open the Holy Quran at the beginning of this episode. We choose chapter Munafiqun, verse 8. We'll listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يقولون لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون.
They say, if we return to Al-Madinah, the more honored for power will surely expel therefrom the more humble. And to Allah belongs all honor, and to His Messenger, and to the believers, but the hypocrites do not know.
The colonial powers in modern times imagine that the treasures of the heaven and the earth are available to them, and they try to impose economic sanctions on the nations who fail to submit to their will. Such blind, disobedient people have been unaware of the point that their possessions and riches will be scattered to the wind by the divine will, and their baseless might be perish. Such attitude regarding oneself honorable and others humbled is hypocritical and stems from the arrogance and self-conceit, on the one hand, and imaginary independence before Allah Almighty on the other hand. Had they been acquainted with the truth of total submission to Allah Almighty and His absolute ownership, they would have never erred in this respect. You're listening to today's special, and now we'll listen to Allah is the source of dignity and honor. Yes, our topic is about dignity in Islam. The dignity of Allah is the source for any other kind of dignity. Other kinds of dignity. He's the absolute source of dignity, just as He, Allah, is the source of light. In the Quran, there are several terms and notions that refer to the dignity of Allah. Perhaps the most obvious one is Izzah, which appears, along with the derivatives from its root, 119 times, mostly related to Allah Himself. That dignity belongs entirely to Allah does not mean no one else can possess it. Rather, it means that all Izzah, dignity, belongs to Allah as the source, and then He gives to others. It is a gift from Him. Creatures do not really own it, but they receive it from Allah.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with self-esteem in Islam. Now we find that in the words of the third infallible Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, in his supplication offered on the plain of Arafah near Mecca, and it's commonly referred to as Dua Arafah, the Arafah supplication, it's indicated that all grandeur and sublimity and highness is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is both because of and comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sublimity, this highness, reaches whoever likes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intently. Otherwise, they would be very much lowered and very much feeble. At the same time, we find that this sublimity, this grandeur that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves staunch attention, such that nobody is expected to commit anything wrong so as to lose this opportunity. And at the same time, it must be indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate being from whom everything, every help, every good comes. So everybody is expected to be attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam indicated that whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very high, reaches highness, and becomes strong. At the same time, disobeying the divine indications and the divine rules and orders leads to one's humiliation and losing status. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that whoever wants to be the most honorable of all people, they should be concerned with being the most God-fearing and pious.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
On the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we'll listen to a short part about Imam Hussein and dignity. Today, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, is known to world more than he was 5 centuries, 10 centuries ago. Today, the situation is such that when impartial intellectuals learn about the history of Islam and the story of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, they feel humble. Even for those who do not know anything about Islam, yet they recognize the notions of freedom, justice, dignity, elevation, and lofty human values. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is an invaluable role model in seeking liberty and justice, in rising up against vices and evils, as well as in fighting ignorance and humiliation of mankind. The belief that it was the uprising of the master of martyrs that preserved Islam is really a correct belief. This event has become livelier on a daily basis in the course of time and after the passage of many centuries.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب شكرا.
Dear brothers and sisters, as the previous episode of today's special, that we follow the tips of dignity and respect, today we reach to thanking even for the smallest favors. If someone comes ahead and does even the smallest favors to you, then you need to thank them. Even if the help is too little, never forget to be thankful for it and express your gratitude to them. Other tip is learning to have some patience. If you do not have much patience and cannot tolerate things in life, then it is quite certain for you to be in trouble. So having patience and learning to wait for things is the key to every success in life.
Is it that our desires and needs humiliate us or take away our honor and dignity? There are two ways. The first way in which our desires can take away our honor and dignity is our social honor and dignity. Because every human being has a social reputation. Now, unfortunately, sometimes because of our desires, we do inappropriate things which cause us to lose our reputation in society. Some people, when they need something, they will drive other people crazy. They will knock on this door and that door. They will go to everyone they know in society. Please help me with this, help me with that. I want this, I want that. Have some mercy on yourself. Don't take away your dignity and honor. Some people, believe me, they will go to extreme measures. Now, when you do that, people will not respect you the way they would. People will not take you seriously. Because they will see this person, all he's concerned about is himself. And his needs, and his desires. He really doesn't care about anything else in society. So people will lose respect for you. If you want that social respect to remain intact, don't allow your desires to blind you. Yes, even if you need something, be appropriate. Go to a few people whom you trust and say it in an appropriate way. And don't insist. When you keep insisting, then you are taking away your honor and dignity. Don't ever allow your needs, brothers and sisters, to take away your honor and dignity in society. Because one of the most valuable things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is your honor and dignity. I tell you, the biggest source of honor for a human being is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the biggest source of humiliation for the human being is to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes because of our desires and temptations, we take away our honor and dignity because these desires cause us to disobey the one who created us.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about dignity in Islam. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. But till then, we'll leave you in Allah, the Almighty's protection.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about listening to words of wisdom from the Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The most intelligent of people are the most fearful of God and the most obedient to him. The most unintelligent of people are the most fearful of the rulers and the most obedient to them.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful tradition, which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam regarding charity. Specifically, this is about the act of charity not being accepted by God and the reason for this. Why is it that our charity is sometimes not accepted by God? In a verse of the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, say, spend willingly or unwillingly, it shall never be accepted from you, for you are indeed a transgressing lot. Nothing stops their charities from being accepted except that they have no faith in Allah and His Apostle, and do not perform the prayer but lazily, and do not spend but reluctantly. Right. So in this verse of the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, it's not true that just because somebody gives charity, it's going to be accepted from God. There's a lot of conditions to it. Right. First of all, somebody shouldn't transgress. The person giving charity should have faith in God, and he should perform the prayers in a good manner, and should be eager to give charity. So, keeping in line with this verse of the Holy Quran, Imam Baqir alayhi salam also mentions certain other conditions for the acceptance of charity. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, was asked about Allah's verse in the Quran, and do not be of the mind to give the bad part of it. This verse of the Holy Quran was asked about from Imam Baqir. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, when people become Muslims, they had earnings from usury and from unlawful dealings. Like, for example, somebody's a non-Muslim and he acquired his wealth through unlawful means, for example, through usury. And then let's say that this person became Muslim. And a man would mix it in with his money and donate from it. So he takes this money, he takes some of the lawful money he's earned after he becomes Muslim, and he gives it away in the way of God. Right? So this verse is pointing towards this. So Allah prohibited them from doing so, and charity is only correct when given out of pure earnings. Right? So the charity we give, if we want it to be correct and accepted and lead to the desired results in the hereafter that we expect from it, it's necessary for it to be given from lawful means, from earnings that were acquired through lawful means, through means which have been, set out in religion. Like, for example, one of the instances of which has been mentioned here in this hadith, which is that it shouldn't be acquired through usury. Let's say that You know, so in Islam, you know, it's not, somebody can say, I'm going to go steal something from a rich person and give it to a poor person, like Robin Hood, right? This is not an act of charity that would be acceptable in God's eyes, according to this beautiful tradition narrated from Imam Bakr alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at charity and the conditions for its acceptance in the words of Imam Bakr alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Okay, welcome back, dear respected brothers and sisters, and also students here. Let's go on, inshallah, and continue our session. We were talking about how to stop or make a pause at a word, right?
Yes.
Or at the end of an ayah, when an ayah ends, how to make a pause. Or when we make a pause, what should we do with the end of the ayah? Should we pronounce or read the letter or the word, okay, with the same harakah that it has? Or no, we have to do something else with it?
Something else.
Yes? So something else we have to do with it. So, Surah An-Nazi'at, go to Surah An-Nazi'at. Let's repeat this ayah with me, Mahdi.
قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ يقولون أن لمردودون في الحافرة.
أحسن.
يقولون أن لمردودون في الحافرة.
Look, في يا مدي.
Yeah.
حمزة الواصل.
Join
them. في الحافرة.
في الحافرة.
Yeah. في الحافرة. You don't say في الحافرة.
I say الحافرة.
You did it correctly. That's why I appreciated it. So في الحافرة. If you take a look, look the first one. يوم ترجف الراجفة. Ayah 6. Okay. راجفة 2. تام مربوطة with.
Which ayah?
Dhamma. Ayah 6. Ta marbuta with?
Dhamma.
The next ayah, look. Ta marbuta with?
Dhamma.
The next ayah, ta marbuta with?
Tanween.
Tanween dhamma. Or dhammatayn.
Un.
The next ayah, khashi'atun again. And the other ayah?
Is alone with the kasra.
With a kasra. So, no matter, we said, no matter what harakat it has, we change it to a ha sakin. Sakinaha. Okay, the next ayah. Look at the next ayah. It ends with Tanween Fatha An. Yes?
Yes.
The next ayah ends with Tanween Dhamma Un.
Yes?
Okay, let's go and practice. Mahdi?
Al-Husayn.
Read the next ayah.
A-Idha.
Louder.
A-Idha kunna idhaman nakh.
Khe.
Nakh.
Someone is cheating. Nah.
Okay, you know what? You're a voice in my head, like just like Hadi.
You just read. 1 hour takes you just reading one ayah.
He don't want to help you.
Nakhiratun.
Ahsan.
So, nakhiratun?
No, nakhira. But nakhira. If you continue the other ayah, it's going to be nakhiratun.
Tun?
Yeah. If you connect it to the next ayah. Tun? But if you stop.
No, not tun.
Tun?
Tin.
Yeah. Tin? If you make a pause.
Akhirati.
If you make a pause, okay. Mahdi.
No, we're going to have a problem. Please stop. Yahya Jafari.
No, stop the ayah. Don't stop Yahya Jafari.
Tin?
Stop in the ayah.
Tun, tun, tan, tin.
Which one?
So, it's let's not. Read it together.
Ten.
Mr. A-Idha.
So you say A-Idha?
He's the one that told me
A-Idha.
No, he said A-Idha.
A-Idha kunna.
A-Idha
kunna. Idhaman nakhira.
Idhaman nakhira.
Nakhira. Then changes to nakhira.
Yes.
تا مربوطة at the end.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Next ayah, Hadi.
No, his turn.
Yeah, his turn. Minhal's turn. Yeah,
Minhal? Yeah. Okay, yes. Minhal. Minhal, Minhalah.
Which ayah?
Huh?
12.
Allahu Akbar. Is it law or
loo?
Loo. Why do you say law?
Tilka izan karratun ja'sira.
Is it Jasira?
Jasira?
Jasira.
Mashallah, mashallah. Do you need my eyes?
Ja-sira?
Look at the dot. Ja-sira? Where is it?
Jasira. Jasira.
Allah.
Jasira.
Jasira.
Okay. So let's separate each word, okay, and practice. Qalu.
Qalu.
Tilka.
Tilka.
If you make a pause at the next word, how do you say? Idhan, how do you say? Make a pause.
Idha.
That's right, idha.
Idha.
Okay, karratun, right? If you make a pause.
Karra.
Karra. Kare murabono, okay? Karra.
Karra.
So you make a pause there. The next one. Khasiratun, make a pause.
Khasira.
Now let's make a pause. Let's make them sakin, all the words, okay? قالوا تلك
قالوا تلك
إذا
إذا
كرة
كرة
خاسرة
خاسرة.
Now join them.
قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة.
حسن. So did you learn it?
Yes, easy.
Okay. Next ayah, Muhammad Hadi.
Hadi.
Sayyid Muhammad Hadi, because he is so kind of sensitive about Sayyid. Yes?
فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ.
أحسن واحدة. So if you make a pause, if you make a pause at زجر, how do you say that?
زجرة.
زجرة. أحسن.
Oh, it's my
turn. Okay, the next ayah. Let's practice this. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ
فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ
زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ
زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ.
Great. Muhammad Yahya.
فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ.
أحسن. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ.
فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ.
The next ayah, Mahdi.
Okay, please. Sir, can you tell me?
Read.
Don't be a voice in his head. Read it.
هل أنت كحديث. Wait, no. Where was I reading? I was reading here. I was reading هل أتاك حديث. And then I wanted to read this again.
read.
هل أتاك حديث موسى.
Read now. Recite it.
هل أتاك حديث موسى.
أحسن. هل أتاك حديث موسى. That's great. Thank you so much. Okay, so the next ayahs are the examples for?
Four.
Alif Maddi.
No, we don't.
Alif Maddi. هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالواد المقدس طوى.
I know. He went in a mountain and then.
Destroyer of Prophet Musa,
alayhi salam. Yes, and there is people. One was called Samurai, I think. And yeah. He made a cow out of gold.
Yeah.
And he made it out of their gold.
Told the people this is a god,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And
yeah.
And he won in the jail. I saw it on TV.
Yeah, that is the story in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, but here as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so the story is long, okay?
And can you say the story?
Not here because it's too long. Okay, no, like so we'll get
summary of it.
Inshallah, I will tell you, okay?
I know the story.
Yeah, next year, I will tell you, okay?
Next year?
Oh,
next year?
So, at the end of this...
He's not going to want to talk with us anymore.
At the end of this session, I want Mahdi to recite Surah Al-Kawthar, and we will listen to him.
And no.
Allahu Akbar.
No.
That's a big offer for you. Mahdi, recite it with the sound of...
Abdul Basit.
A'udhu Billah. Let's recite a salawat till he finds the page.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So this session we learned three rules,
so
right?
You said you were going to say a salawat until I find it.
We recited a salawat. It's you to recite.
Yeah, it's you to recite. You recite.
Come on, Mahdi.
Oh, but this
our brothers
is
are listening to you. Come on. They're waiting for you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الله حسن
ما شاء الله إنا أعطيناك الكوثر
حسن
فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر
Allah, the biggest surah in the world.
Thank you so much.
Sadaq Allah. So, okay, now your turn.
I will make a dua. Okay, I will make a dua. So everyone say Ameen, okay?
Ameen.
Okay, before that, let's recite a salawat. Quranic salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad وعجل فرجهم اللهم نور قلوبنا بالقرآن آمين okay again اللهم نور قلوبنا بالقرآن
آمين
اللهم زين أخلاقنا بزينة القرآن
آمين
اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة القرآن
آمين
اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا بالقرآن
آمين
اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن
آمين
اللهم اهدنا بهداية القرآن
آمين
برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم Thanks to IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools that they are holding this kind of Quranic sessions.
No one else did it, so that means I'm special.
Yeah, thanks. Special thanks to goes to Mahdi Al Husseina, Muhammad Yahya Jafari,
and thanks to Nat Hadi and thanks
to all our friends helping us holding this kind of session. Thanks so much. See you inshallah in the next sessions. Recite a salawat and let's finish. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
آل محمد فرج
العالم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A very warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And my dear guests in the studio, as always, Brother Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah, and welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam, I'm glad to be here.
Welcome. Well, in these series of programs, we are trying to, have a kind of content-wise analysis of the movie rather than the artistic features or artistic critique. And the movie we tried from a few episodes back was The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. And inshallah, hopefully, we'll try to put an end to the criticism and critique of this movie here in this episode. But before that, and asking the questions, let's take a listen to a part of the movie, The Da Vinci Code, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The paper says the entire family was killed. The mother, the father, the boy, 6, and the girl, 4. But your name was never Sonier. It's St. Clair. It's one of the oldest families in France. It's from the line of the Merovingian kings.
Quoi? Sang royal.
Royal blood. I was so wrong. Sonier didn't want you to help guard the secret of the Holy Grail. Sophie, you are the secret.
Back to the program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie The Da Vinci Code, and this was a part or a portion of the movie that you just listened to. And I'm going to ask, Brother Hussein, about this part. You know, in this part, Brother Hussein, Sophie comes from a royal blood. You know, we see near the end of the movie. Why is there so much emphasis on the notion of king kingdom, prince, princess, you know, their rank, rather than prophethood. Like, we see it also in Christianity. For example, we say prophet Abraham, prophet David, prophet Solomon, but they keep calling them King David, King Solomon, right? So again, here in this movie, we see the same emphasis on these terms. Like, you come from the royal blood. They are trying to sell this idea, and they're trying to convince Sophie, the girl in the movie, right, that she comes from a royal lineage. Why? Why is there so much emphasis, like in such movies, resembling what is going on even in Christianity, on the idea of royalty?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, I think it really depends on, you know, the era of Christianity and, you know, the type of culture that existed at that time. I think, you know, at that time, you know, it was more of a monarchy system where, you know, you have the, you know, the king and the queen and the princes and the princesses or whatever. And that's why to resemble the high stature of this person or of any person, they call them kings, because they sort of ruled over this section or this you know, this common you know, section of people that followed them. So whether, you know, it was a prophet or you know, even a priest, I guess, you know, someone with high stature. And I guess they emphasize this a lot because, you know, when you're a king, you have certain responsibilities, you have a certain reputation, and this also reflects on your lineage and your descendants as well. So, you know, when they were trying to tell Sophie in the movie, they were trying to emphasize that she was from, you know, royal blood. It's because, you know, there is like that certain, you know, weight to it. Mm-hmm. And that she has to acknowledge that she is no ordinary person. She's one of the royals.
Right. Okay. Before me asking Brother Sayyid Abdullah this question, let's take a listen to a part of this movie talking about the Templars and the Priory of Sion. And then we'll be back asking Sayyid Abdullah about that. Don't go away.
What is this?
Sophie?
Who are you?
There have been many names. The Keepers, Guardians, the Priory of Sion. But to you, Sophie, we are friends of the man who raised you, Raxonier. He would have wanted you to know that he loved you very much, and that the Priory are here to protect you now, as they have always protected our family.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. And you just listened to a part of this movie, The Da Vinci Code. And there was this talk of the Priory of Science, the Keepers, the Guardians, the Templars at the end of the movie. What's all these? What's the story? What's what do you make of them, Sayyid Abdullah?
Well, I think what the movie did, they done an excellent job of mixing historical facts together and coming up with something new. So they kind of crossbreed.
Yes.
Two things, and then they gave you something different. And for those who don't have a background of the Crusaders and the Templars, they will definitely meet with the Priors of Zion, and they think they are one, where in fact they're totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Templars, that they go back to the Crusaders, right?
Yes.
So it has nothing to do with the Priors of Zion. Priors of Zion is a French organization, a secret organization started in 1959, I can't remember the date, 1956, around this age. And they started as a secret organization, and their job was to do good and, you know, to help one another and become, you know, as they call it, chivalry Christians. And, you know, this is how it started. And even the founder himself, he later on, he dismantled this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then Notre Dame came on the line.
Yes.
And he predicted some family bloodline.
Yes.
That will come along and needs to be protected.
Yes, he was also French.
Yeah, he was also French. And then did they come with the Priors of Zion to be the protectors of this bloodline?
Yes.
And later on, a novel got released. It's called Bloodline and Holy Grails.
Mm.
And they took the Priors of Zion and they said they are the protectors of the bloodline of Jesus.
Oh.
So without knowing the history, you're going to have so much things.
Amalgamation of things.
All together, and you'd like, what's going on? And interestingly enough, Sion is just another word for Zion.
Yes.
Now, Zion itself is a hill in Quds, right? Yes. It's a hill in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they used to call it the Mount of Zion.
Yes, the city of David, I think.
Yeah, so David himself, when he conquered that city,
yes,
it had a fortress or a church in that hill, and it was referred to as the hill of the Mount of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And now, strangely enough, they have the same hill in France, but it's called Sion, the Mount of Sion, not Zion.
Yes.
So, you, like, they kind of trying to, I guess they're trying to throw you out of balance, but at the end of the day, they're trying to give you, like, one hint. Okay, Zion. Forget about Sion. Forget the Priors of Sion. It's actually, we're talking about Zion. I don't know. This is just my speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, what I found very interesting is how they mix everything else. And then they, obviously, when they said, the Priors of Zion and the protectors of the bloodline, well, obviously they took that from the book itself,
mm-hmm.
you know, bloodlines and holy grails. So they took that exactly from the book.
Yes.
But what they did is they tried to throw the viewer out of balance
mm-hmm.
by putting something that the viewers already know, because mm-hmm. we've all heard of the Templars, right? Yes. So they linked them to, they said, okay, their name changed from Templars to Priors of Zion. If you don't know your history,
yes,
you would assume it's correct.
Exactly.
Which, in fact, it's not. So, like I said, there was a lot of work being done
yes.
to throw the viewer out of balance and makes it look real
yeah.
and entertaining, to say the least.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Yeah. That was really interesting and good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a listen to another part of the movie, and then we'll be back with its criticism.
History shows us Jesus was an extraordinary man, a human inspiration. That's it. That's all the evidence has ever proved. Why does it have to be human or divine? Maybe human is divine. Why couldn't Jesus have been a father and still been capable of all those miracles?
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. Brother Hossein, I just wanted to ask you about these important questions raised near the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, there is this conversation between Sophie and Professor Langdon, Tom Hanks, right? He says the history shows us Jesus was an extraordinary man, a human inspiration.
Yeah.
Not a prophet. He's speaking from his academic background, of course, here, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an academic individual, he says this is what the history is trying to tell us and show us, right? Well, but then he just speaks as an ordinary person when he talks about that story when he was, you know, he fell into a well and then he was all alone and, you know, he started praying to Jesus as Lord, you know, and then finally, of course, he was saved, but out of the well. So he's talking about the effect of praying here, like he was praying to Jesus. Obviously, okay, as an ordinary person here, not as an academic, okay? Why does it have to be human or divine? He says at the end, maybe human is divine.
Yeah, that was a pretty, you know, thought-provoking line.
Yeah, what do you think of this? What do you make of this?
I mean, you know, it's very complicated. This is, you know, it's not that simple of a topic when you think about it. obviously humans have this divine nature within them. And, you know, Islam tells us this because we know that, for example, God blew in us from his soul. So we do have that kind of divine essence. But yeah, of course, when we research, you know, the physiology or, you know, the science aspect, the scientific aspect of, you know, human beings, we don't really see anything under the microscope that resembles divine, for example. But of course, there is that you know, essence inside of us, at least. At least from an Islamic perspective.
Thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to this program, the movie critique program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. And we finally finished the critique of the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. Thank you all for listening to the program. And we say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Witness the biggest cover-up in human history.
You're not gonna make it!
You're saying all this is real?
Real enough to kill for.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, yes please.
Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. The program is Quran Quest. The program is Quran Quest, where we discuss and examine the verses of the Quran with our dear beloved Sheikh Habib. Sheikh Habib, salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for